Praise God. And it's great having Brian back. We missed you. You still got your card that says you're a citizen of heaven? Everybody still got their cards?
Amen.
Well, hallelujah, because if you're not a citizen of heaven, this message isn't going to mean much to you. Amen. Well, I got to tell you, Lord's really blessed me with this message, and I've been so anxious to get to this part of Jude, I've already covered it two or three times. You know, it's kind of like a good novel. I don't know about you guys, but I always want to see the climax. I want to read the climax, see how they're going to get there. So that's kind of what I had done. I went through verses 20 and 21 and the end of Jude just to give us inspiration as we go through it. Because A.W. Tozer says you have to have the negative in order to have the positive. And that's how God works. And how did Jude start off this book? He used like what we call in the government the sandwich technique. What do you do when you're counseling an employee? You bring them in, you give them encouragement, make them feel comfortable. Then you hit them with the negatives. You hit them with the things they need to be improved on. And you do it in love, of course. But then how do you end it? You give them that exhortation. You give them that hope. You give them all the tools that they need to accomplish what you have just shared with them. Well, that's what Jude did. He brought us in and told us how we were preserved in Christ and how we're loved and we're beloved because we are the beloved. And then he went through three quarters of the book and it was all about be careful of false teachers. Don't stumble like the false teachers do. Beware. God hasn't changed. Now what does he do? He says, but you, beloved, build on your faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Building on our faith, because building on our faith is how we remain in Christ unto eternal life. You want to know what it means to remain in Christ? Build on your faith. Build on that relationship. And what does it do? It draws you into intimacy with our God. So, our eternal life is found in no one else, as we've said time and time again. And our song and our heart is, nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. Unlike the apostates who have all tried and failed. Because what was their song? I did it my way. That's the highway to hell. And that's what Jude has warned us about. But for us, it's Jesus and nothing else. That's the simplicity of our life. Now that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility in all this. It means that in Christ, we will respond to the love of God and the ability He has given us. And it all begins and will end with faith. Because we're saved by grace through faith. And then everything else is given to us. And Jude's going to clarify, what's it look like when we remain in Christ? He's going to give us 5 points that are indicators. Or not 5 points that are indicators. Let's say 5 things that we're going to do that's going to draw us closer to God. And draw us closer into the intimacy that we're to have with God. Because God did not have His Son die on the cross so we could walk at a distance from Him. He had His Son die on the cross so that we would be intimate with Him through His Son and be in union with Jesus Christ. A union that produces salvation. Not just being saved, but being conformed into the image of His Son. And we are transformed and preserved in Him as we persevere in Him. That's a reality. We're preserved in Him because we persevere in Him. James 4:7 through 8 says, therefore, submit to God. It takes action on our part. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Action. We draw near to God and he draws near to us. We can't get much nearer than living in us. But what do? We quench the spirit. We grieve the spirit. And we have our flesh get in the way. But drawing near to God means we remove those veils that would stop his Son's light from shining in our life. And we get that direct sunlight by drawing near to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Does that describe anybody here? I believe it describes all of us here, right? Because we're still here. So there's obviously some more cleaning and some more purifying that God wants to do to get us ready for heaven. Hebrews 10:21 through 23 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We must hold fast to the confession of our hope. And what's the confession of our hope? Jesus Christ without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. In other words, we hang on to Jesus, no one can snatch us out of His hand. No one. And the Father also has His hand over us as well, but there is free will. So that's the work of salvation. And this is what Jude is going to talk about, a union and a unity with Christ that produces fruit. Because that's what we were created to do, glorify God and just love Him forever. Glorify God and just enjoy Him forever. That's what we were created for. So we need to persevere or remain in Christ because we are His saints. So let's look at Jude 1, 12 through 23. And I know we covered 12 through 19 last week, but I want to tie it into verses 20 through 23, which I'm going to focus on this morning. He says, "But you, beloved," and as a quick summary, "do the things that keep you secure in Christ." And we're going to read, as I said, Jude 1, 12 through 23, but let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore You. Thank You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the Word that describes all about Him, and that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that separates the soul from spirit, and gives us discernment, gives us Your way, gives us Your instructions. But Father, nothing replaces Christ. And may we be the doers of the Word, because we know that doers of the Word know even more and learn even more about Jesus. So Father, just may You have Your way with us today. May You open up our eyes to see all that You have for us. May we open up our ears to hear it. And may we just be built up in faith, because faith comes by hearing. And may in that faith we become those doers of the Word that You would desire us to know, so that we can experience Jesus in all facets and in all ways and at all times in our lives. And so we just lift this up to You. May You be glorified in this, and may we be built up and equipped. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Jude 12 through 23. "These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear," and he's talking about the false teachers, "serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him.'" So a lot of judgment going on there against the ungodly. All right, we don't have to worry about that. But we're going to come back with Christ as His saints, and we're going to help carry out that judgment. Verse 16, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers at the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause division, not having the Spirit." Now on to today's lesson, verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And I looked up the word unto, and guess what it means? Unto. Till it comes, trusting in the mercy of Jesus Christ. 22, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So last week, we looked at verses 12 through 19, and we saw that we anchor in safe harbors by abiding in Christ, which is keeping Him at the helm of our ship, if you will. And how do we do this? We do this by reading these words, the words of the apostles, the foundation that was built for us to build on, with Christ being the cornerstone of that foundation. And we read these things, these warnings, and it concerns us. And we remember the words of God, and we heed His warnings by being sensitive to His conviction, that small still voice, and the conviction that comes by reading His word. But there are spots and hidden reefs among us, grumblers, complainers, and sensual people, People who walk in their own lust for their own purposes as they relish the things of natural man and not the things of God. They are totally carnal. They're not looking to please God. They're looking to please themselves. They're not looking to lead people to God. They're looking to lead people to themselves. They're not looking to live a life that glorifies God. They're looking to glorify themselves. We're to stay away from them because these people are spiritually dead mockers, twice dead, like trees, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. They have no spiritual roots. Who come as empty clouds. You know, a cloud that looks like it's going to bring rain and a lot of promise, but there is no rain. There is no refreshment. They come as raging waves with empty words, telling you all these new things, hidden secrets, and how you're going to be able to have better life and all these things when it's just empty and it's sound and fury, signifying nothing. And I won't go into Macbeth 4:2 for you. I know you've heard that. But they are like trees that bear no fruit. Wandering stars who lead us astray if we follow them. You know, stars we can navigate by. Comets and wandering stars. Things that move across the sky. You can't navigate by it. You'll just be led astray. And that's what these false teachers are like. But we remember the Word. And we remember who the Word is about. Jesus Christ. And He provides us through the Spirit of truth, godly instruction, wisdom and discernment, and the might by which to apply all these things by bowing our will to His. And in doing this, we're brought to faith in Jesus. And He keeps all of His beloved saints in unity with Him. We're brought to faith in Jesus, first by the gift of faith and then by a faith that builds as we trust in Him. And we're going to talk about those today because there's three types of faith and we're going to look at all three of them very briefly. And in all of this, Jude calls it, we contend earnestly for the faith. Because that's how we are preserved in Christ. That's how we remain in Christ. We contend for what we believe for. We ignore all the lies and we focus our eyes on Jesus Christ as we follow His voice and follow His words. What is a voice but words? So we follow His words. We have the added benefit of having them in writing and having them taught to us by the Spirit of truth. Because, you know, Satan would like nothing more than to separate us from Jesus Christ, that fellowship, as well as the fellowship of the body. And, you know, once you start becoming separated from the body of Christ, you're becoming separated from your fellowship with Christ. Because He intended for us not just to love the head, but to love the body of Christ, because each one of us is a gift to the other members in the body of Christ, as He has gifted us to be. So it's important for us to be in fellowship. Because He says, this is the command I give you. Love one another. How can you do that by yourself? You can just love yourself. And we also know that God's love covers a multitude of sins. In the body of Christ, we need that. But you know what God's love doesn't cover? Open rebellion. And anyone in open rebellion needs to be saved, either through compassion or through the fear of hellfire. And we're going to get into that here today as well. So today, Jude stresses, as saints, we need to persevere in Christ unto eternal life. Yes, He says we're preserved in Him, but there's a way we're preserved in Him, through faith and building on that faith. And that produces the fruit of perseverance. And we're going to talk about that and how that fruit is produced. So it is our responsibility to remain in Him. By this we persevere and we are preserved. And you remember that preservation process about the heat. You know, that canning process and just how it's going to get rid of all that chaff being burned as God is an all-consuming fire. And He leaves that kernel of wheat that goes on into heaven. That's our eternal soul. So how is this done? It's done by five things, Jude points out in verses 20 through 21. It's by being built up in faith, as faith is the foundation of our relationship with Christ. Yes, we love God and He loves us and we respond to His love. That's why love is the greatest gift of all, because it was the love of God that gave us Jesus to begin with. But what's the foundation of our relationship? Faith. Through faith, we have His love. Otherwise, it's something somebody else has. But it's the faith He gives us. Believing in Jesus gives us the love of God as our own. And then we can respond to it. And we pray in the Spirit. This is the communication that's required for building our relationship with God. You can't be intimate with God if you don't talk to Him and listen to Him. You can read His Word, but it'd be like having a wife where all you do is read her love letter. Honey, can I talk to you? No, but I'll write you an email. What's up with that? Love letters are great, and we have the greatest love letter that was ever written right here. But we need to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father through Christ. And that's done through praying in the Spirit, communicating with Him, giving our lives in submission through prayer to Him. We also need to remain in the love of God, having a fruitful relationship. And then we're motivated to obey Him. Because love is that first fruit, that primary fruit that produces the rest of the fruit, including perseverance. And then also, Jude points out, we need to look unto or look for the mercy of Christ unto eternal life. And He's faithful. You don't have to worry about Him failing. What do we have to focus on? Us just remaining in Christ, being surrendered to Him. He'll take care of the rest. And then fifth, he talks about how we're to share the truth with others. Those who have been stumbled by false teachers. And to some we share in compassion, and to others we need to save them through the fear of hellfire. And that's just how life is. Calvary Chapel Distinctives states that because we are saints, we need to persevere. Well, this is all part of following Jesus. You know, a fruitful Christian is someone who truly is following Jesus. This requires responding to His Word. What does Jesus say? I think He makes it clear. He makes it clear that it's not enough just to hear His voice. His sheep take action. What do? They follow. Doesn't say they sit there. Doesn't say they ignore Him. Doesn't say they go wherever they want to and do their own thing. It says they follow Him. They hear My voice and they follow Me. Or, as John 10:27-30 says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And they hear My voice, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life. You hear His voice, you're saved, you follow Him, and then you have eternal life. It doesn't say, My sheep hear My voice, and they have eternal life. It says, and they follow Me. It takes action on our part. That's what repentance is. It's an action. Turning away from the way we were in the flesh and being conformed to the life of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. And then, and they shall never perish. So after you hear His voice, after you follow Him, and He's given you eternal life because you're following Him, remaining in Him, He says, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My hand. You don't just hang on to the last part of the verse and think you have eternal security. That's a half-truth. And a lot of people are filled with half-truths these days. And it's a shame. It's a travesty. And it's something that we need to be able to share with people. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus will give you eternal life, but we must respond by following Him. Not because we have to, but because we want to and desire to, and in His love we're perfected. He isn't going to take us to heaven the way we are. He wants to change us into His children, how He wants us as His children, to spend eternity with Him. Amen? And we're to follow Jesus, and we do it not at a distance, but we do it in union with Him. And this union is the life we have in Him. And in His Word. It's in union with His Word as well. John 8:31-32 says, Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, If you abide, which means remain and dwell, basically making it your life, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We can say those words 1,000 times, but we forget about the part about abiding in His Word. It's the Word that sets us free. Abiding, taking action on the Word, that's what overcomes the world. So remaining in Christ is a living union by which we grow, building up our faith. A loving union in which we obey, responding to His love and the obedience that comes from that love. And a lasting union unto eternal life as we hold fast to the confession of our hope. That's what we read in Hebrews. Holding fast to the confession of our hope, who is Jesus Christ. That's remaining in Him. So now Calvary Chapel's doctrine, if you will. We believe in a balance between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Why do we believe that? Because that's what the Word teaches. It's not all of one thing and all the other thing. It's balance, with Christ as the focal point for both the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. What's in the middle? What's the tipping point? What's the focal? Jesus. Chuck Smith puts it this way. We believe in the eternal security of the believer, but we also believe in the perseverance of the saints. We don't believe that because you are a saint, you will necessarily persevere. Think about that. Kind of a scary feeling. Let me repeat that. We don't believe that because you are a saint that you will necessarily persevere, despite popular belief, popular teaching, but that you need to persevere because you are a saint. Just because you call yourself a saint don't mean you're going to persevere, but as a saint, you will persevere because you will respond to the love of Christ, because you are following Him, and He will keep you secure as you remain in Him. Is that clear? That's the focal point. He goes on to say, and this is in Calvary Chapel Distinctives, page 109, if you want to look it up for yourself. And then on page 110, it says, they've asked him, "Do you believe in eternal security?" I say, "Yes, of course I believe in eternal security. As long as I abide in Christ, I am eternally secure." Where is salvation found? In Christ only. To the cross I cling. Only do I cling to Jesus Christ, not some man-made doctrine that says you can cling to everything else, including this world, and be saved. Amen? And this is exactly what Jude is telling us here in verse 20 and 21. Unto eternal life. We have eternal life now because we remain in Christ. He's preserving that for us. We're preserved. We live for heaven. We live for eternity. We need to live our lives that way, unto eternal life. Because living it is having it. You're doing it unto eternal life. Not doing it for this world, not doing it for today, but doing it for Christ in the glory of God forever. Unto eternal life. And yes, that gives us eternal life. That's what contending for the faith is all about. Being a doer of the Word and sharing the truth as the Spirit leads. Hallelujah. And if I gave nothing else, that's what this Scripture is about. But we're not going to quit there. We're going to give you much more, right? My wife gave me a definition of a good sermon. I said, "Well, I'd like to hear it." She says, "You have a great opening and a great ending, and not much in between." So that's where I'm going wrong. I'm really doing that. A great opening, man. I probably preached for a half hour trying to get started. And a great ending, but man, we'd sure have a lot in between too. Oh well. That's the way God made me. Pray for me. Pray that we get everything in between. Amen. So what do? We're to build ourselves up. Jude says, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. He doesn't say trust in somebody else to build your faith up. You don't build up your faith by giving money or giving whatever. You give of yourself to God and being in the Word and walking in faith to apply His Word to your life. Speaking of faith, Joe has written a song, and praise God. I should say the Lord has written a song through Joe. And we're going to hear that today. So that's going to be a wonderful step of faith. And that's what faith does. It gives you a song in your heart. And I'm just so thankful for that. I know God's glorified because you've already done it in His eyes. Amen? So, concerning our faith, build yourselves up. That's how we build our relationship with Jesus, on faith, as that is the foundation of our union, as I talked about. And everything else is added to it, including more faith and the fruits of the Spirit. Remember what we talked about way back when we looked at 2 Peter 1:1 through 5. It says, the fruits of the Spirit are added to faith. He says, and add to faith godliness, goodness, perseverance, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. What's it start with? You got to have faith. Why? Because you got to be saved by grace through faith. And then you build on that faith, and the fruits of the Spirit are added. As you love God, you get all the rest of this other stuff. Loving God takes action. or I should say, doesn't take action. Loving God produces the action that is faith. Right? Love is the motivation. Faith is putting it into action. He puts it in our heart to do it, but it's by faith we take that step. Joe could have had it in his heart to write a song forever and we never hear it because he never wrote it. But now he's taken the step in faith to do it, and today we're going to hear it. That's what it's about. And we know that in Romans 5, 1 through 3, that it confirms that through faith our perseverance is built up. Because what does it say? It says trials and tribulations produce perseverance, character, and hope. Perseverance being a fruit of the Spirit. In faith, we go through these trials and tribulations. We're built up in faith. We're built up in perseverance. We're built up in character. It changes us to the Christ-likeness that He desires. And that gives us even more hope in Jesus Christ because we know He's working in our life. That's building yourselves up in faith. And in faith, everything else is added to you. And there are three types of faith. Saving faith, growing faith, and the gift of faith. Saving faith must come first. Just like you can't follow Jesus without hearing His voice. Because you can't see Him. So you got to follow His voice. Right? So how do we hear His voice? Well, it comes by hearing the gospel. And is a gift from God. Right? They follow my voice. We hear that first inkling. Says, come to me, all who are weary. Come drink the living water. And we accept Jesus Christ by the gift of faith. Because we're saved by grace through faith and that not from ourselves. It's a gift from God so no man may boast. Ephesians 2:8 through 9. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you hear Jesus, the good news of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts you. What does it convict you of? It says, here's the good news. Jesus Christ forgives you of all your sins, but what do you have to do? Admit you're a sinner. Turn from that sin and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you hear the good news. You hear the bad news. You're a sinner. But you have the hope of Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. The sandwich technique. I never knew that was biblical. I'd have used it a lot more. Yet I digress. But it's through faith we enter in by the narrow gate. That gift from God. And we follow His voice. That's what enables us to hear that voice. Then we have growing faith. This is the faith that comes by experiencing the faithfulness of Christ. Jude is also referring to this type of faith. That's what he means. Built up. Being built up on your faith. You know, you have a foundation of faith in Christ because you've come to Him. You've heard His word. You've responded to it. Now keep responding to it. Keep responding to His words. Keep being a doer of His word. You got to hear it first. Then you follow Him, you take those actions unto eternal life, being changed through all of that. So by being a doer of the Word, we walk in that faith. And you know what? Just hearing His Word, just sitting here in church, you can be built up in faith. Because faith comes by hearing. But guess what? The best way to grow in faith is by taking what you've heard, applying it to your life, and testing it to see that it is good. Because God is faithful, and He will give you the goodness of His heart by testing that in faith. Amen? You're not testing Christ. You're testing yourself to walk forward in faith to have all the promises He desires for you. We don't test Christ, but guess what? We get tested, and that's what faith is all about. Testing it, to prove it, to grow, to be built up, so we can persevere, because we know being tested gives us perseverance unto eternal life, remaining in Him. So by being a doer of the Word, we walk in Christ and we're built up in Him. Let's go to Colossians 2:6-7. And it says, so as you have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord. So you've got the saving faith. Everybody there? Anybody there? Gepsi, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Yes, Colossians. That's how I remember it. Gepsi. Those always confused me until my wife gave me that acronym. Gepsi. It don't make sense, but I think I can remember. Little tool for you, too. I do it in faith, too. So Colossians 2:6. And this is important. I mean, underline it. Hold it. Memorize it. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord in saving faith, so walk in Him. You walk in Him through the faith He's given you. rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. What are you abounding in? Faith. And we do that with thanksgiving. So what's that telling us? It's telling us that the essence of faith is trusting the Word. After we're saved, is trusting the Word. And then we walk in Him, remaining in Him and in His Word throughout our journey that we call the life. The way, the truth, and the life. So as we journey through this life, we hear His Word, we trust it, we put it in action into our lives. And then we are rooted in Jesus, who is truth, by reading His Word, and we come to know Him as we're taught by the Spirit of truth, and by applying it, we know that what He says is true for us. It's not just true for somebody else. It's not just true for the prophets. It's not just true for the martyrs. But we too know the truth. And it has set us free because we have tested it for ourselves. And it has become our own. And that builds us up in faith. You know, we say that trust is not given, it is earned. That's how we operate as humans. God knows how we operate. God gives us as a free gift. But what do we have to do to grow in faith? Okay, well, Lord, let me just... Okay, I'm going to follow You. Little steps at a time, right? Until we start getting comfortable. So then you start building up trust. Okay, well, And pretty soon, you guess what? You're off and running. Running the race of faith. With your eyes focused on the author and finisher of your faith. But with us, because we're human, and He knows us, and we start off carnal. As we learn to trust the truth, we start operating more and more in the Spirit, yielding our life to the Spirit, because what is being a doer of the Word but yielding our lives to the Spirit and operating in the Spirit more and more? Amen? That's building ourselves in faith, but we're rooted in the Word. Rooted in Jesus Christ first, and then we can be built up in faith. Growing in faith. And then we abound in it. As we were taught, as I may be teaching you here, you go and apply this yourselves. Then as you're taught, you abound in faith. Not that little faith, oh ye of little faith. But you abound in faith because you've trusted Him and you're moving forward. Taking those giant leaps and even running in the race that God has given you to do as led by the Spirit. Abounding in faith, and when we're doing that, we give the Lord praise and adoration. And that doesn't mean along the way we don't trip over a rock or me. I trip over my own feet a lot of times. But you do it with His Word being the lamp unto your feet and growing in Him. And as we are built up in faith, we grow in His love and we grow in His hope. Faith, love, and hope. The greatest of these may be love, but the foundation of all of those is faith. And the hope we have is Jesus Christ unto salvation or eternal life. Third gift of faith is the empowerment to stand in Christ even in the face of death. Now, depending on your calling, what God has given you to do, you may not face death too many times. But there's others, like those missionaries we support over in South Sudan, those chaplains, that face death every day. That takes the supernatural gift of faith. Yes, they're saved. They have saving faith. Yes, they have faith. They're walking in Christ. That's how they got to where they are. But to stand in the face of the enemy, facing death day in and day out or even once, takes the supernatural gift of faith, and He will give it to us because His grace is always sufficient. And by His grace, He gives us all that we need, including the gift of faith. Where it's called a gift of faith is in 1 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "And to another faith, and to another faith by the same Spirit." So, the gift of faith. How many times are we going to face death? I don't know. Look at Paul. Look how many times he faced death. But the thing to remember is, don't fear. Love God, and He's going to give you all that you need. How did Paul put it? I love it what he said in 2 Timothy 4, 6-7. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." That's what perseverance looks like. That's what the gift of faith will give us. The ability to stand in Christ and say, "Hey, my time's near." He's about to get his head cut off. This was his last letter to Timothy. Written in love, in the power of the Spirit, in the truth of the Spirit. "I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Oh, for us to say that. And we will, as we persevere in Christ and are preserved in Him. And the victory we have in Jesus is our faith. And by it, we too have overcome the world. Just as Paul overcome the world in Christ. Didn't escape the death of the body, but he certainly escaped sin, death, and damnation as far as the spirit is concerned, as far as the soul is concerned. And he was ready to go to meet his Maker, as we are to be ready and prepared each and every day. But as long as God has more for us to do, then he's going to continue to have us overcome the world. And love is the reason we obey God. But faith is putting His will into action, and we too will overcome. Because by faith, as I said, we're doers of the Word, and we overcome the world, Satan, and ourselves. But without action. Without action, God's Word means very little. It's just like without repentance, hearing the Word of God comes to nothing but sorrow. Meaningless sorrow. You can be sorry you got caught. You can be sorry somebody's saying these words to you and it breaks your heart. But without the repentance, turning from sin to God, it's meaningless. Because you must have repentance to come to Christ. But the victory we have in Jesus is our faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith." What's the victory you have in Jesus? Love? No. Hope? No. Fruits of the Spirit? No. What's the victory we have? Faith. Because it's faith in Jesus. It's believing in Jesus that gives us everything else, because that's how we have the grace of God that gives us everything. We're saved by grace through faith. Love is great. Don't get me wrong. Love may be the greatest gift, but it all comes by the grace of God through faith. So don't forget about building up your faith, being a doer of the Word. And you're going to do that because you love God. It's going to be a supernatural response to His love. So be built up in Him. Be built up in faith. Putting His words into action. Being a doer. You know what this does? This proves your salvation. This gives you the assurance of salvation, as we're preserved by faith in Christ. So now what do? We pray in the Holy Spirit. Getting to know God. That's what we do. We come to know Him. Continue on in verse 20. God has already sent us the most precious love letter, and He's given His Son's life for us. Now, how do we get to know the Father personally? You talk with Him, not just to Him. You talk with Him. You speak, you share your concerns with Him, and you listen, and He will talk back to you. That small, still voice. And He'll talk to you through the Word and lead you into the Word, through the Spirit, how He wants to talk to you, what He wants to share with you, and the promises He has for you. And then we lift them up to Him and say, "Give me these, Father. Take whatever's in the way away." When you're reading the Word, as I've talked about, it should be a conversation you're having with the Father. "I don't understand this. Please give me clarity. Father, this is what this means to me. Is that what it's supposed to mean? Father, give me this promise. Take whatever's in the way away that's blocking it. I bow to You, to Your will. In Your Son's name, I pray." That's having a conversation with God, and we listen. And He's faithful because He's chosen us as His children. You know, if natural fathers will give presents to their children, just think what our Father wants to give us. That's what the Word says. It's done because we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to God as His children through Jesus Christ, as we are His betrothed. A precious, priceless gift given to Him. But God the Father is Spirit. Therefore, we must worship in spirit and truth, as John 4:24 says. So praying in the Spirit is true worship. As the word prayer means bowing in submission. Physical bowing, spiritual bowing, more so, in submission. Signifying the sacrifice that He always wanted. What did He want? You. Your heart. Your life. To call His own. As one of His children. This is the worship that glorifies God. And is the purpose for which we were created in the first place. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The Son died so that we could have that relationship. Purchased at the cross by the blood of Jesus. And God wants us to know His Son. As His entire love letter to us is written about His Son. Written about what He has done for us through His Son. the divine expression of love, Jesus Christ, given to us. He wants us to come to know Jesus so that we'll be changed by Him and by the life that He's given us, so that we'll be conformed to His image, so that we're prepared to spend an eternity with God in heaven. And it starts all with praying in the Spirit. And if we remain in Jesus, and His Word remains in us, we will ask what we desire, and it shall be done for us. John 15:7-8 says, "But if you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." Well, those are two big qualifiers. If you remain in Jesus, and My words remain in you, what are you going to be asking for from God? The things of the Spirit. Otherwise, you're not remaining in Christ, you're in the flesh. And you're asking for those new cars, more money, and the things that may be nice to have, but maybe not what God wants you to have. Because a lot of times, it can stumble us and hinder us, because our eyes are taken off of Jesus and put on those things. It's a replacement for our Lord instead of a contribution to what He wants to do. "When you produce much fruit, you are My true disciples," it goes on to say. This brings glory, great glory, to My Father. This is the promise of Jesus Christ. Remain in Me. Remain in My words. Ask for all that you want. And in John 14:13 and John 16:26, it says, "Ask in Jesus' name, and you shall have it." Because this is going to produce much fruit. And it's going to bring glory to God. That's what Jesus wants to do in our life. That's what God wants to do in us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is to be fruitful, not just to multiply. Some people got that kind of like on a whack here, you know. You know, that was Adam. You know, hey, okay. Now we're into the spiritual man. Yeah, the flood happened and all that stuff. Remember? Now we're into the... Be fruitful by what He does into and through us in the Spirit. And as we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our heart. We've talked about the prayer cycle many times, so I won't go through that again. But He puts it in our heart what to pray for, and then we pray for it. And then He gives us all the resources to make it happen. And then in faith, we do it. That's how it's done. And that produces fruit. Fruit in us, because we did it, because we asked for it. Just asking for it is a fruit. A fruit of obedience, a fruit of submission, the fruit of worship. Fruit of our lips, raising it up to Him. But you know, in the flesh we're weak and we don't even know what to pray. That's why in Romans 8:26-27 He says, "In your weakness you don't know what to pray." But He gives us the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. And you know, sometimes He does that by us just not even knowing what to pray, and we just groan. "Oh Lord, help me." I think those are some of our most fruitful prayers. You know why? Because we have emptied ourselves. We don't know what else to do. Sometimes He gives us a prayer language. Some people, like my wife, has a prayer language. Where you can speak in tongues or groanings or whatever, and it makes sense to Him, but not even the person understands it, but they're edified in it. Because it's a special language He's given you to get even closer to Him. I pray one day I'll be that close with Him, that He gives me that gift. And then what I like to do, because I don't have that prayer language, and as our prayer team knows, I pray for the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say that are on God's mind. And on His heart, not my own. I know what's on my mind and my heart. Father, give me the words to say from You so that we will be built up and edified and pray for the right thing. I find that most fruitful in my life. And I think the prayer team finds that most fruitful as well, because then it's not of me. It's of the Lord. Sometimes when I do that, I find that I quench the Spirit, because sometimes He'll say, "Pray, break me." Well, I don't want to pray, break me. "Pray, humble me." Well, I don't want to pray that way. "Break, take away that." I don't want to get rid of that one. So if we don't quench it, it's so fruitful. But we can get in the way even in our prayers. Amen. Pressing on. Verse 21. "Remain in the love of God and look to Christ's mercy unto eternal life." Our response to the love of God is to remain in Christ through the ability He gives us. How many times have we said that? Do you remember responsibility? You understand our relationship with God. You understand the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. God is sovereign. He called you, and now you respond to that love that He's given us in love by being obedient to Him. As He is the vine and we are the branches. We're going to read one of my favorite verses or chapters. We're not going to read the whole chapter. Let's turn to John 15:1-10 and take a look at this in the light of producing fruit as God would desire it to be done. John 15:1-10, because building our lives on faith It's meant to produce fruit. That's what we've already read. So let's go ahead and read what it says. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How much can you do in the flesh? Nothing. How much can you do outside of Christ? Nothing as far as God is concerned. 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. I think that's pretty clear what happens when you don't abide in Christ. What does it mean to remain in him unto eternal life? You're not cast out because you're not withered, because you're connected to the vine. And you're remaining in his love, which we're going to get to here in a minute. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Is that pretty clear? Hellfire, anybody in rebellion? Here's some of that hellfire stuff. Joe, I know you're not comfortable with it, but I love you too. He loves you. He loved you. It's scary stuff, but it's the truth. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You want to know how you get what you ask for? Abide in Christ, and he's going to give you things to ask for. And abide in his word. That's what praying in the Spirit over his word is about. You ask him exactly what he wants you to ask him. He's put it down in his love letter and said, please ask me. This is what I want to do for you. This is the life I have for you. Live it in faith. 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How do we know we're his disciples? When we bear much fruit. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love, or remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you remain in my love. That's what it's saying there. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus set the example. We're to be Christ-like. Remaining in him makes us Christ-like. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. I went one verse further than I said, but I like that joy part too. I love the love and I like the joy. All right, I don't like that hellfire stuff either, but we don't have to worry about it. We got the love of the Lord. And he produces songs in our heart. And as the love of God perfects us, we are obedient. We're obedient to remain in him through his words, because his word is in us. And we're in Christ. And we're in union with him. That loving, growing relationship. And apart from him, we can't do anything. But in him, we can do all things. Produce the fruit that he desires, because that's what he wants us to do, to glorify God. So our purpose is very clear. It's to remain in Christ, to produce fruit, to glorify God. And this is done by faith, because we saw and read how all the fruits of the Spirit are added to faith, being built up in faith, remaining in the love of God. And we're praying in the Spirit for these things so that we'll have it, including even more faith. So the motivation for all that we do in the Spirit is our response to his love. And that's obedience. 1 John 2, 4-6 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. How do we start this lesson? We walk in Christ by faith. Rooted in the word, built up in faith, we walk just as he walked. And that produces the fruits of the Spirit. And this is the essence of persevering. And is what we need to do as saints unto eternal life, looking unto the mercy of Christ. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us his grace to stand in his grace and to keep growing in grace. And then, you know, and as you're growing in faith, love, and hope, you're growing in his grace. You're growing in the ability to live the life that is pleasing to him. And we have the hope of heaven, because we know the work that he started in us, he's faithful to complete, as it says in Philippians 1:6. And we also are hopeful that he's returning very soon one day to take his bride home. And that should keep us pure. Remember what we talked about in the beginning? Keeping ourselves pure, washed clean with water, His pure water. Looking unto Jesus and for His soon return, His imminent return. But Jude has also warned us not to be transgressors and fall away from the faith. And the writer of Hebrews does the same. Hebrews 10:38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." That's the word of the Lord. But for those who have been led astray, verse 22, "On some have compassion," making a distinction through discernment. Who do we have compassion on? Those who have been looking for love in all the wrong places. They've been stumbled thinking it was the truth. They weren't in rebellion. They were just confused. So what do? We bring them into the love of Christ, sharing the truth with them in love, and we nurse them back to spiritual health. But for others who are in outright rebellion, we save with hell fire. We give them the fear of God. You may be believing this, but let me tell you what the Word says. It says, don't turn grace into lewdness. And what you're doing is grace being turned into lewdness. You're living your life how you want to. And what does God say about that? You're going to be damned to hell if you don't change your way. Amen? That's the truth of it, long and short of it. And you do that in love too. Of course, it may not look like love, but it is. It's love, the love that's going to pull them out of hellfire, sharing the truth. But we got to be careful, it says. Verse 23, "But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh." What this is be wary. Don't get pulled down into their sin as you're trying to save them. Nor are we to contribute in any way to their sin or enable them to continue to live in sin. That's what this is all about. The best witnessing we can do is be the example of Christ's likeness, because that's always the best way to witness to others. And how do we do this? Through this building process that Judas described. And it's accomplished in Christ. With saving faith, we become rooted in the Word. We're built up in faith by being a doer of the Word. We pray in the Spirit to produce much fruit that nourishes others and glorifies God. We remain in the love through obedience to His Word because you love Him. Right? We remain in His love by being obedient, and that's because we love Him, and we get more love because of that. And we persevere in the hope we have in Jesus unto eternal life. This is what John called practicing righteousness. And it's how we draw near to God, just as we started Hebrews 10:22 through 23. "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Dear Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for being faithful. Thank You for sending Your Son. Thank You for giving us the promises. May we be faithful to claim those promises and yield our life to You in the Spirit to have all that You desire for us. And we lift this up to You. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.